You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Now, Giannis driving his way into the lane, lays it in with a foul. That's the Greek Freak we've been calling for as he takes it right to the teeth of the defense and a chance at the three-point play.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
In a mid-range shot, let's see if they can do it again.
Four defenders out there, make it five really for the Bucks. Matthews, Hill, Giannis, along with Holiday and Middleton. Brown loses the ball on the floor, picked up by Hill. He's racing off the other way, glides in, shot pinned against the window. It's going to be a goaltend, and George Hill comes away with a little larceny late to put the Bucks ahead by six.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah!
All right, I don't know that I would label this an impressive win. The final few minutes of the game were certainly impressive as the Bucks outlast the Celtics here in their regular season home finale and now move closer to securing the two seed in the Eastern Conference. Although, as we mentioned, a look at the play-in tournament and the possibilities there, is that a good thing with a potential first-round matchup with the Brooklyn Nets if that is in fact the case? But we learned a little bit tonight, and there's still quite a bit yet to be decided, especially when it comes to the playoff seeding and potential matchups here, not only in the first round, but what that would mean for your path in this postseason to defending the NBA championship. Phone number to get in touch with us on the show tonight is 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620 is the AccuNet Mortgage talk and text line if you want to join us on Bucks Talk here, presented by Gruber Law Offices. Look, I leave this game, and I don't know if you disagree with me, but I leave this game incredibly impressed by the Boston Celtics. This is a team that I think we've pointed to the numbers, what they've done since, I believe, January 21st, 27-6 in those games coming into play tonight, and they have lapped the field. When you look at what they've done in the second quarter, we mentioned it on the broadcast, they have been one of the best second quarter teams in the league all season. That's where they've started to distance themselves from their opponents. But defensive rating, offensive rating, net rating, if you want to get into the gist of the numbers, the Celtics have been head and shoulders better than every other team in the NBA since January 21st. And that includes teams like the Memphis Grizzlies, who have been incredible this season. The Phoenix Suns, the only team in the league this year to win 60-plus games. The Boston Celtics, by the numbers, have been better than those two teams. So to catch this team tonight on night two of a back-to-back without Jason Tatum, without Al Horford, obviously without Robert Williams, they hung tough with the Bucks. And you can make a strong case the Bucks did not play very well. Some of that was brought on by this Boston Celtics' ability to switch and knock down threes. I leave this game thinking the Boston Celtics are the team I do not want to face the most in the Eastern Conference portion of the playoffs this upcoming spring. 855-616-1620, the number to get in touch with us. Tell me I'm wrong. Is this not the biggest threat to the Milwaukee Bucks, a team that was shorthanded, no rest, without their leading scorer, and without a couple of key pieces, especially on the defensive end? And they were able to do to the Bucks what they did tonight. This Boston Celtics team, I'm not going to say worries me, but this is the team I want to face least in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Now, you approach this game saying, how do you approach this game? Whoever wins this matchup, we thought, has a very, very, very clear path to the two seed. If it's Boston, not only the separation that they would have on the Bucks in terms of the standings here, they would also get the tiebreaker. Now, the tiebreaker, which we're going to need 15 to 20 minutes of time separately to discuss the tiebreaker in those scenarios, but if the Celtics won this game tonight, they're 51-30. The Bucks are 49-31. It's pretty much over at that point. You lose the tiebreaker, you would have to win out and need the Celtics to lose their final game of the season. So you knew whoever wins this game has an inside track into the two seed here. But as we said, is that going to be a good thing if that means it's the Brooklyn Nets. And we've seen a lot of teams over the course of the last couple of weeks. I say a lot, but it's really one team specifically. Go out of their way to avoid that two seed because of the lurking Brooklyn Nets. And that team we're talking about is the Philadelphia 76ers, who, by the way, are a discussion in themselves with what happened tonight in Toronto. But you wondered, how would this team approach the game, the Bucks? I think we left this game wondering as well, how are they going to approach the game tomorrow night, the Bucks being that team in Detroit against the Pistons, because you got two games left this season. Now, I've seen a couple of people say, well, the weekend, there's going to be a lot of rest. You're not going to go two straight games of not playing your regulars or at least not getting them some type of action here. I would be very surprised, and Coach Budenholzer didn't necessarily answer the question. He didn't avoid it. He didn't answer it over how they're going to treat tomorrow. I would be very surprised if we saw the core guys of Giannis, Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez. I'd be extremely surprised if you see Brooke tomorrow. Even Bobby Portis and Grayson Allen, who missed tonight's game with hip soreness, something that's been lingering throughout the season. I would be surprised if you see a lot of those guys. Tomorrow seems like what you saw last week, 1 week ago against the Clippers. Get used to that, because you're going to see a lot of that. Now, it's a Pistons team that's been playing very, very well of late. And I know that's funny to say, because right now the Pistons, 23-57, second worst record in the Eastern Conference, third worst record in basketball. They cannot catch the Orlando Magic, who lost tonight and are currently three up in the loss column. We say up, but actually down in the loss column with two games left. So at best, the Pistons can finish second in the Eastern Conference. At worst, the Indiana Pacers can catch them. And the Indiana Pacers also have a difficult schedule remaining. Yes, the Pistons have been playing well. No, we don't think the Bucks are going to be playing a lot of guys tomorrow. But do not kid yourself. The Pistons have zero incentive to win that game tomorrow in Detroit against the Bucks. So if you're the Bucks, if you win one of these two games, the odds are pretty strongly in your favor that you will end up being the two seed. If you win out, you definitely are the two seed. If you go 1-1, you need the Celtics to lose their final game of the season, and that's against the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, Memphis, similar to what we said with the Bucks and with the Miami Heat, who have a couple of interesting games on their schedule as well, they don't have anything to play for, the Memphis Grizzlies. They know where they're going to be seated, but it's that same conversation we had as to why the Bucks are not going to treat Friday and Sunday as rest games. You got a week off. This isn't the old years. We saw this last year. You got a week off in between the postseason. It's not wrapping up the season on a Wednesday and getting started on a Saturday. You're finishing on a Sunday, and you may not play again until Sunday afternoon. So you're not going to see heavy rest on Sunday. You're going to see some rest. And if you recall last year, the Bucks wrapped up their season against the Bulls. That's the only time they've lost to the Chicago Bulls in the 4 years Mike Budenholzer has been here. They didn't play any of their regulars in that game. That was the Jordan Wara 34-point special where he set his new career high, or set his career high at the time. But that was night two of a back-to-back. They closed the season with games Saturday, Sunday. This year, their back-to-back is now. It's Thursday, Friday, off Saturday, and into Sunday. I think you can expect to see at least a half of basketball from guys like Giannis and Chris and Drew. So if you go 1-1, you feel pretty confident you're going to be the two seed here. And just avoid that four spot. And that's why this game was important, as we pay so much attention to the two seed. And yes, the Bucks can still get there. If they lost tonight, definitely not. But this win, it may not guarantee the two seed. And I said you feel pretty confident if you go 1-1, you can get the two seed. Maybe not. But this win goes a long way in making sure you're not the four seed, because they do have the tiebreaker with the 76ers, and you got one game left. Two games left. So Philadelphia, you got one game up on them. Philly needs the Bucks to go 0-2, and they would need to go 2-0 to pass the Bucks there. So this game was huge in that you avoid the four seed, and the big part there is, I said the Boston Celtics are the team I'd least want to play in the playoffs. The Toronto Raptors are not a team I would want to play in the first round. And avoiding the four seed means you're not going to see the Toronto Raptors, because right now, Raptors are two games up on the Bulls. They would need to lose out, and the Bulls would need to win out in order for the Raptors to catch them. But who did you learn the most about in this game tonight? Another down-the-stretch performance from the Bucks, 9-0 run to close the game out. Strong performance from Jrue Holiday, Giannis, and Chris once again. Or was it, in the case of Giannis? I want to get to that in a moment. Or this Boston Celtics team that I think all of us have pointed to the numbers and the way they've run through the opposition for 3 months now. And now you got a chance to see it in person without their top scorer and without two top defensive players. And they still looked like they did. So who did you learn the most about? And is this Celtics team the team you least want to see in the Eastern Conference playoffs? 855-616-1620. We'll hear from you after this on Bucks Talk. Bucks outlast the Celtics here, 127-121. I've gotten a little bit of pushback on the Boston being the team I least want to face in the postseason. I do want to get to that throughout the show, but also Brandon's producing the show tonight. And Brandon, you sent me this statistic here that the Bucks tonight with Giannis, Chris, and Jrue ran through the stats that they had 29-8-8 from Jrue, 29-11-5 from Giannis, 22-8-9 from Chris, but they all had two or more steals as well. Jrue had three, the others had two. So you pointed this out. They are the first trio to have 20 or more points, 8 or more rebounds, 5 or more assists, and 2 or more steals in an NBA game since the 73-74 season when they officially started tracking steals. One, that's still somewhat hard to believe, but we've gotten into this thing with statistics and especially the tools on Basketball Reference where you can find anything. And to me, I like round numbers, and I'm guilty of this too, especially with Giannis, that we always want to tout how great he is. And, whoa, Giannis is the first player to do this since, you know, never. But I like round numbers. So if it's first trio to have 25, round as in fives and tens, 25, 10, and 5, then I'm on board with you. Like, once we get to, well, 8 rebounds or 6 assists, that's when it starts to be like, okay, we're shaping statistics to fit the narrative that we want here, but still, 22-8-5-2, it's still pretty impressive that no trio has done that in, almost 50 years now.
History. How special is this big three, though? Like, honestly, like, we're in the golden era of Bucks basketball, and I know Kareem was here 50 years ago, and Big O, and Johnny Mack. But, I mean, Justin, really, this is the golden era of basketball in Milwaukee. It may never get better than what we have right now. And I think that sometimes when we watch Giannis and we watch Chris Middleton and we watch Jrue Holiday, we kind of take it for granted a little bit, myself included. I'm guilty of it. But this is the golden era of basketball in Milwaukee. It really doesn't get much better than that.
It's the Andy Bernard line of, you know, being in the good old days, and
I love that show. Yeah,
you wish you could go back. You wish somebody would tell you when you're in.
It's true, though.
In all aspects of life. Yeah.
I mean, are we ever going to see another player like Giannis? Probably not. I mean, we may see another great player, but
look, I mean, I'm sure
top five greatest ever
in franchise history or the NBA?
He will go down as in the NBA as top five. He will be the best.
He will at the very least be in the top 10.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm sure we had some of these conversations, and unfortunately I wasn't around for it, but in the 70s when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was here and when he was dominated like he was. Now, I know his run here in Milwaukee was very short, but you know, you think about what they did while he was here. Joins in the second year of the franchise. Bucks win 56, then 66, then 63, then 60, then 59. And then it was the beginning and the end where they went 38-44, and that's when Kareem said, all right, I want to be on the coast. I want to leave here and go elsewhere. And he shipped out to the Lakers. In his run, he statistically, and we had this conversation a week ago when Giannis finally passed Kareem of, yeah, but Kareem did it in X amount of years. And, you know, Kareem's run here in Milwaukee was, what, 6 years? 6.5 years? 6 years?
Six, yep.
Yeah, it's impressive that Kareem did that in 6 years, and it took Giannis more than that. Kareem came in as maybe the greatest collegiate player we've ever seen. He certainly was at the time. You can maybe name 2 to 3 guys that you would say, maybe this guy is up there. But he's one of the best, if not the best, collegiate players of all time. Came in not raw, very polished, a finished product, and dominated from the start. As soon as he came into the league, completely dominated. Certainly the opposite of what we saw with Giannis, who was very raw, took some time to get there. And, you know, 3+ years in is when you started to see him start to make this ascent. But, you know, Kareem as a rookie, just under 29 points, then 31, just under 32, just under 35, 30, 27, 30 again. He is the last player to average 30 points in a Bucks uniform. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And Giannis is in the hunt somewhat, but tonight, 29 points. Look, I think, and based off what we kind of talked about at the top of the show, I don't think Giannis is playing tomorrow. I don't think really anyone is playing tomorrow. But I think he's going to play Sunday, at least for a half, and I think all the regulars are going to. So I kind of threw it out there earlier today of, all right, let's assume he plays in 2 more games. Here's the total points he scored. If he plays in 2 more games, I think that would put him at 67 games played this season. So with 67 games, you'd need to score X amount of points to average 30. And that number, he'd need to get 67 points over the course of 2 games. So he's going to need 38 points Sunday in the regular season finale, which probably not going to happen if he plays 20 or so minutes. So he's not going to get to 30. But what he's done this season is just incredible. And, you know, I was talking to you before the game as well over this, the whole MVP discussion. It's just so tiresome that I understand we want Giannis to win the MVP. And I think you can make a very, very strong case. Of those three guys, Giannis has been the best player this season. Now, Nikola Jokic, by the numbers, has been the most impressive player. Joel Embiid has been dominant, and he's been maybe the most important to his team. But Giannis has been the best player, and he's the best two-way player in the league. But the whole, well, I wish Giannis would be in the conversation, and he should win the MVP. He should. He doesn't care. We shouldn't either. And I, quite frankly, am glad that this is the approach that Giannis takes, where the other week when he was asked, who are the other two guys in the MVP discussion, and legitimately did not know it was Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid, I would quite frankly rather have that approach from him than what we're seeing from some other players. I mean, specifically Joel Embiid. And what we've seen from Rudy Gobert in the last couple of games as well, where the players that take to interviews and social media, and James Harden, when Daryl Morey would do it, and I'm quite frankly surprised we haven't seen Daryl Morey go on a full-scale assault for Joel Embiid like he used to do for James Harden in Houston. But that is where it just gets completely tiresome of when you resort to complaining that you should win the award and I'm the most deserving and I don't know what I got to do to get attention for this. Like, that's when I'm over it. So I'm glad that this is the approach that Giannis is taking. And, you know, I talked about this with somebody else on Sunday. We did not have a Bucks talk after a disappointing loss to the Dallas Mavericks. But to me, you know, Giannis was such a great story last week where everything fell into the place. You had the 2 big wins, and he moved past Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He did it on a 3-pointer. He was huge in the 4th quarter against the Nets. He saved the game. He won the game against the 76ers, and it was 2 huge wins for the Bucks to continue their climb and at that time, continue to have a shot at the top seed in the Eastern Conference. But unfortunately for Giannis, his quest and his candidacy for the MVP, it ended on Sunday. When the Bucks lost that game to the Mavs, when Giannis just had a so-so game, and it wasn't more of the ascent, and wow, now the Bucks are, you know, into first place, or they're just a half game back, and Giannis had another 35-point night, that's what ended it. Because Jokic and Embiid had enough of a head start on him that what he did in the second half has been incredible. Not that he wasn't incredible in the first half of the season, but what Giannis did in the second half and in March specifically, incredible. But he needed to carry that through, and he needed to do that Sunday against the Mavs. And even tonight against the Celtics, that was another one you pointed to and said he's got to dominate in these national games because those are the games that are going to get the attention and eyeballs. And the other thing that kind of went against him tonight, it's not his fault, but this was a national game, and at the time, a week ago when we were looking at this, this was a huge game. Celtics have been one of the best teams in basketball, if not the best. They've certainly been the best over the course of the last 3 months. The Bucks have been coming on strong. And then all of a sudden, you saw, oh, wait a minute. This is night two of a back-to-back for the Celtics. And then after the game last night against the Bulls, you may have read on Twitter.
Aaron Rodgers is returning to Green Bay for another run at the Lombardi. 94.5 ESPN. It's WKTI and WKTI HD Milwaukee.
A good Karma Brands radio station. Components that come into play there. So we'll
wait. It's Rich Stop
and then Al
here
Horford
with
talked after the game last night too. And Al Horford,
your home and
all
save
season
money.
Long,
I don't care
talked
that
about
everyone else's prices.
Man,
are going
I got to tell
I'm
you, I feel great physically. Like, I feel like a different person, a different player,
no pricing
light years ahead of where I was that year in Philadelphia.
So give your home some
and,
love
and
save some cash
OKC,
with Rich Stop.
That loss, feel like I feel great right now.
Right now,
and that's the reason why I've been so valuable and able to contribute this much. And last night, Al Horford, I don't know, I feel okay. I could use some rest.
One call,
so that
that's
kind
all.
Of derailed
it's not
as well.
Just a
it's
slogan,
not in Giannis's
but a
control,
way of life.
Saying, look,
law,
you got to dominate in those national
if you've
games.
Been injured,
your team has got to keep winning.
Team today.
And the Bucks kind of fell flat
we've
after
represented
those two big
tens
wins.
Of thousands
your team has to keep winning.
Wisconsin
you got to dominate.
For well over
and it's
got to
be
years.
At those moments when there's
trust
eyeballs on you.
Trust zone.
This
is
a game
law
that
offices.
Was supposed to be
one
huge,
call,
and then you come into it and see.
That's all.
Okay, Robert Williams is hurt. Al Horford isn't playing. Jason Tatum isn't playing, and I think that took away a little
wide
bit
array
from this
of opportunities
game
abound
as well.
At
so
waste
unfortunately,
management.
Through the
his
pandemic,
quest
if
for the MVP ended on
sick,
Sunday.
They
he doesn't
be care.
Care
if their family
we
COVID
shouldn't
pay.
Care.
We paid a stipend.
What we should
to make
be concerned
sure
about more
the
is
bill.
Who are the Bucks going to face in the first round of the playoffs? What is
we
the path
able to, work from home,
to an NBA championship? And like I said, I do not want it to be this Boston Celtics team, though it feels inevitable. 855-616-1620.
The
Acumen Mortgage Talk
search online. Waste management.
I know
careers.
One person that disagrees with me on that. This the last few years seems like you always have that matchup that feels inevitable. Yeah, these two teams just bound to meet in the postseason, and it really feels like it's the Boston Celtics this season. 855-616-1620. More after this. Your thoughts on this Boston Celtics team? We'll get into it next.
For the lead, this time too strong, but the rebound tracked down by Cornette. He'll pass it back out. Three-pointer, another one misses. This time from the corner, Cornette couldn't hit, and the rebound goes to the Bucks. Going the other way, Holiday, step back three. Yes, sir.
All right, we have to talk about Jrue Holiday's clutch play, not only tonight but all season long, as he continued to make some of the biggest plays of the game for this Bucks team. And another performance where Jrue Holiday just quietly gets close to 30 points and leads the team in scoring, along with Giannis, 29 points from each of them. But another big fourth quarter from Giannis, and we touched on the Bucks now being 9-1 in their last 10 games that are clutch games, where it's a 5-point or less game at any point during the final 5 minutes of the game. Bucks have won 9 of their last 10 games. When it gets to that spot, Jrue Holiday has been, if not the biggest, one of the biggest reasons that the Bucks have had that track record they have in those moments. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. I do not want to face this Boston Celtics team. I'm not saying the Celtics would beat the Bucks, but this is the team in the Eastern Conference at this point I would least look forward to facing in a playoff series here in the East. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Let's head to the phone lines and talk with Dick in Port Washington. You're up on Bucks Talk.
Yeah, I think this was the most embarrassing victory of the year. They're down three starters. Our defense was horrible. How many bunnies at the rim did they make tonight? And if the guy would have made the one at the end, it would have been a 1-point game. I think this game showed a lot of our warts, and I agree with you. I think this is the best team in the East when they get those three guys back. And I think the Bucks are really only the fourth or fifth team. I think that Miami's probably better. I don't want to play Toronto either. And I think the Nets, as much as I'd hate it, I mean, all they got to do, I mean, okay, I hear this argument all the time. Well, they're going to go off for 80 points, those two guys. You still got to stop the rest. You know, Curry scares the heck out of me. And I forget the other guy's name that made so many threes the other night. I think we're in trouble.
Patty Mills.
Patty Mills, yeah. I just think, I mean, yeah, I think we could be in the first round and be done. I just, this Nets team scares me, especially after tonight. Three starters they were down.
Yeah, look,
where's the defense? I mean, what is our rank after tonight's game? What's our rank in defense? I mean, it's got to be horrible.
I'd rather not look. Yeah, I mean, look, yeah. And this has been the problem.
Yeah, that I hear you.
We've talked. Yeah, and thanks for the call, Dick. We talked about this a couple of times that the scourging thing is I understand the defense being middle of the pack overall this season. When you take into account Brook Lopez missed, what, 68 games? Some close to 70 games. You played without Brook Lopez. I understand that's going to have a huge effect on your defense. And still, by and large, I know they started sampling with some things last year, but by and large, there's a defense that plays the drop, and they're predicated on just taking away shots at the rim and giving up long twos and three-pointers. Now, Boston took advantage of that. It did seem like it's been a roller coaster where the three-point defense gets better, then it kind of takes a step backward, then it gets better, and now it feels like it's gotten back to that, well, there's a lot of threes that are going up there. A part of that has to do with Brook Lopez coming back and the way that they defend with him now. But you wanted to see, and to me, I think the biggest pain point and the biggest discouraging thing, and I'm glad Dick brought this up, was the defense was bad today. And there were a couple of moments where you could sense the frustration from Coach Mike Budenholzer. And Brook Lopez did not have a great game today. Now, on the one hand, it's tough to really point that out and pile on Brook when this is a guy that's coming back from back surgery and has missed two-thirds of the season. So there's going to be an on-ramp process for him. But you can clearly see the offense is still getting there, that he's shaking off some rust there. You need Brook Lopez to be better defensively in the postseason. I'm not to the point that I'm concerned about the first-round matchup, even if it is the Brooklyn Nets. I'm not there yet. But, I mean, look, right now, your second-round opponent is going to be the Boston Celtics. And I just said, that is the team I least want to play in the Eastern Conference, especially if that's a team that's going to be healthy in the sense of Robert Williams. Now, it's going to be close in terms of timelines of whether or not he'd be back for a second-round series, but that adds to it as well, is he's been a guy that's had some defensive success against Giannis. Now, I'm not going to go as far as he's the Giannis stopper, like we used the verbiage on Al Horford the last, not the last couple of years, but for those runs. But you need athletic big bodies to throw at Giannis and guys that can just give him fits. Robert Williams can do that. Grant Williams cannot. We saw that tonight. Daniel Theis cannot. Al Horford has been better defensively this season. I still want to see Giannis versus Al Horford for a seven-game series and see how that plays out. But even Marcus Smart, we've seen him defend him at times. Marcus Smart is a guy they throw out there. To me, this Boston Celtics team, this is the upgraded version of the Miami Heat. Miami has the defensive switchability. We know Miami, what they're going to do. They're going to make it physical. They're going to make it really tough on you. They can switch around. The P.J. Tucker news that came out today is certainly interesting, and I want to get to that. But Miami's going to be a pesk defensively, and that is where their strengths are. Their weaknesses, we've touched on this on the program a couple of times, you still have some major questions about Miami's half-court offense. And that is why this Boston Celtics team is the one I would put them ahead of Miami. There are no questions offensively. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, they're all shot creators and shot makers. They've added enough shooting around those players. Jason Tatum can do the thing that's most valuable in the playoffs for as much as we shun and look down on the mid-range shots. That's what's most important in the playoffs. You need to be able to get to those spots and hit those shots. Jason Tatum can do that. And this defense, to me, is even more switchable than Miami's defense because you still have areas you can exploit. We talked about the half-court issues offensively for Miami. The way around that, Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero especially. Those two guys are going to be targeted and exploited defensively in the postseason. And name a guy you can do that with this Celtics team. So that's why I would say this is the team you should be most concerned about. I'm not saying I'm scared of the Celtics. It's just like the Nets conversation. I don't want to play the Nets in the first round. The Bucks would beat the Nets. If that ends up being the first round matchup, 2-7, the Bucks and the Nets, the Bucks are going to win that series. They may even win it in 5. It's probably a 6-game series. But I don't want that for the first round. I don't want Toronto for the first round. I want Chicago. I want Cleveland. I'll take Atlanta. I'll take the Charlotte Hornets if I can get it. I don't want those teams. You don't want to make the path more difficult than it has to be. And that's the reason why I say that about the Nets and why I say, look, second round against the Celtics, I mean, that's the bummer here. I said it's important not to finish fourth because that means you don't have the Raptors in the first round of the playoffs, but finishing 2-3 means you're getting the Celtics in the second round. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Let's head back to the phone lines and talk with Garrison in Milwaukee. You're up next on Bucks Talk.
How's it going?
Good. What's up, Garrison?
Hello? How's it going?
Yeah.
You know what? I think what you're saying about the Celtics is definitely true. I was at the game tonight, and definitely the fourth quarter, they were struggling on the offensive end. The Celtics were really slowing us down, and they were really giving the Bucks the business there. And if Williams was, healthy, he is a good Giannis stopper, and White's really been their solution at the point guard position, I think, since the trade deadline. But I think, Udoka's been around the NBA, but I think Budenholzer kind of has a step up on the rest of the Eastern Conference coaches right now. I think that's something that's a little understated. He's going to know how to execute late game as opposed to, like Billy Donovan. Really the only other big coaching mind in the Eastern Conference right now is Spoelstra still in Miami. And I think their half-court offense, really the Bucks can wear them down to the point where over 7 games that we're just going to slow them to a halt, honestly.
Yeah, I leave this game still thinking, and I haven't wavered on this all season. It sounds like you're aligned with me, but I leave still thinking the Bucks are the favorites to win the East. But I've always the Celtics have started to get a lot more attention, and I know especially in the early going, I was certainly skeptical of it. You would always go to they've won X amount of games, yeah, but who's it been against? And you look at everything else. And, starting to watch more and more of their games and now seeing them in person without all their pieces, you get it. And I that's the team that I say, well, the Bucks are still the favorites, but this is the team that if you tell me the Bucks are not going to come out of the East, the reason is the Boston Celtics. So that's where I'm at of I think the Bucks should still be the favorites and by a decent margin too. I mean, I just think there's so many questions elsewhere in the East, but – if it's the Bucks that fall short, if the Bucks do fall short, I should say, the Celtics to me are the team that you would say, okay, that's the team that advanced out of the Eastern Conference.
I think Celtics Miami matchup in the Eastern Conference Finals. That's kind of what I'd predict from if we would lose to them. I think that would be a really tough series, but I think the Bucks are just going to have a really tough road to the finals this year. I mean, the way it's lined up right now, it really looks like it's going to be Brooklyn, Boston, Miami just to get a chance at the title again. But I think they just, yeah, like you said, the Bucks should be the favorite. Giannis has been on another level this season, the last couple weeks. And I think he's slowed down, in the past weekend or so, and that's really not saying much. But I didn't see him shoot one fadeaway post-turnaround jumper tonight. And last week against Philly and Brooklyn, he was hitting those left and right. And when he has that shot, he looks like Michael Jordan. Like, there's really no one who can stop him. But, I mean, I said to my friends during the game that I was like, are Hauser, Pritchard, and Cornett really the guys that the Celtics are going to that they've been winning, all these games? And, I mean, I guess so. I mean, they really, rely on everybody. It's a team effort out there for them, and they, you know, they move the ball really well and they play good team defense. But I think just down the stretch in games, the Bucks can out-execute teams, really. I think part of it's Budenholzer, but the rest is just the minds of Holiday and Giannis knowing where to go, who to go through, who to attack. And just, you know, they both read defenses so well at this point, and I think Giannis's basketball cue is highly understated.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Garrison. Pretty aligned on that. In look, in fairness to the Celtics tonight, it was night two of a back-to-back, so Sam Hauser and everybody else that you saw tonight was just out of rest situation. They've pretty much been down to just an 8 or 9 man group for the last couple of weeks here as they've started to round things out. Similar to what we've seen from the Bucks over the course of the last month, from March onward. And the absence of Grayson Allen meant for everybody upset. We did get to see Javon Carter at times on the floor tonight. Mike in Milwaukee, let's head to him next. You're up on Bucks Talk. Hello, Mike.
Looks like we lost him.
We lost Mike. All right, so I mentioned this is the Celtics team that it feels like there's a collision course, and it's just it's bound to happen. These two teams are going to play. It's kind of felt that way, I would say, since the early midpoint of March. And when I say play, second round of the playoffs, like these two teams are on a collision course. It felt like that 2 years ago with the Miami Heat. Felt like that again last year with the Miami Heat. And you knew, I mean, the difference between this year and last year was by February, you knew we're playing the Heat in the second round, or the Heat, the Brooklyn Nets in the second round of the playoffs. That Sixers, Bucks, Nets, those three teams were clearly the best three teams in the conference. Two of them were going to have to play each other in the second round. And you just got the sense, when you looked at those games between the Bucks and the Nets, you just got the sense it was going to be Brooklyn. And as we moved closer throughout the season, it felt like, yeah, this is going to be a 2-3 matchup. The Celtics, the first year that this building was open, where Boston started to play really well down the stretch, the Bucks finished first, and you just got the sense of, it's a Celtics team. That's who the Bucks are bound to face, and everybody look out for the Celtics. Look what the Bucks did in that series. It feels like it's happening again. That, and at this point, we're basically 90% there. That these two teams are likely to finish 2-3, order yet to be determined, but you're going to get the Boston Celtics. This is a team that I look, if you're going to play Boston in the second round, you can't play the Nets in the first round. That's where I'm at right now. Again, I expect the Bucks to win both of those series. But that's taken a whole lot out to go through Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in a first-round series, to go through the Boston Celtics in the second round. Who knows who the conference finals are going to be? Because I know we've talked about this on the show before. On paper right now, it looks like It looks like Brooklyn, Boston, Miami, we'll say. Those are your three teams that you're going to go through in the East. That's what it looks like on paper. It never happens that way. What happened last year? What happened the year of the bubble when it was the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat in the conference finals? The only year it really happened that way was, or at least in recent memory, was the playoffs of 2019, when it was 1-2, the Bucks versus the Raptors, 1-4 in the second round, the Bucks versus the Celtics. That was a bad Eastern Conference. But what we've seen the last couple of years, there's more volatility, and there's more good teams, I guess I would say, but especially this year, there are more good teams sprinkled throughout the conference that it's not going to go as you planned. One of those teams is going to fall short before that conference finals matchup. But still, hope is not a strategy. I don't want to get to the point where you hope one of those teams goes down before you play them. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. Are the Celtics the second best team in the Eastern Conference? Your thoughts after this on Bucks Talk.
Been a strange set here over the last 25 seconds of this game. Middleton now lobs up top for Lopez, who jams it down with a two-hand rim rocker, snapping a 7-0 run for the Celtics.
Just how you drew it up.
The Bucks' big three shining tonight as they hang on to beat the Boston Celtics. And, hey, speaking of big three, mentioned this at halftime here at the broadcast, but beginning tomorrow, it is Milwaukee Bucks Foundation Week, and beginning tomorrow is the auction. So it starts Friday at 10 p.m., and there are a variety of items you can win in this auction, once-of-a-lifetime packages and experiences. The Big Three jersey package, autographed jerseys of Giannis, Chris Middleton, and Drew Holiday. There's a Giannis rookie practice shirt that you can bid on. It's also autographed by Giannis. There are lower bowl tickets and parking as well for two to a first-round matchup here at Fiserv Forum this season. And the big Bally Sports package, behind-the-scenes tour of the Bally Sports Wisconsin broadcast truck here at Fiserv Forum. You get to do a meet-and-greet with Marcus Johnson, Lisa Byington, and Zora Stevenson. You and three other friends can be a part of that for a game next season. A Bucks gaming package in there as well. So a lot to bid on here with Milwaukee Bucks Foundation Week and some limited edition releases of apparel and merchandise as well. So just head to bucks.com/MBF Week and you can see everything that's available for purchase, everything that you can bid on as well, starting tomorrow night at 10 p.m. So look, Bucks play at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Bucks Talk is going to start at around 9. We're going to go to 10. And as soon as we wrap things up, you can head to bucks.com/MBF Week and bid on some of those packages as part of the Milwaukee Bucks Foundation. Milwaukee Bucks Foundation Week going on beginning tomorrow through the weekend. So by all means, check that out. And the other piece of news that we got was the addition to the roster. We kind of mentioned this in passing on the game the other night, but it was the same point last season that the Bucks made an addition to the roster. With three games left last year, that is when the Bucks added Elijah Bryant to the team. With three games left this season, they made it official. The Bucks have added Luka Vildoza from Argentina to the roster. They cleared they waived DeAndre Bembry to clear a roster spot. Luka Vildoza, now part of the team. Mike Budenholzer talking before the game about him, saying there's still some paperwork that apparently needs to be sorted out and worked out for him. But we knew he wasn't going to play tonight, potentially leaving the door open for a couple of games for Luka Vildoza to go into the playoffs tomorrow night and Sunday. So the Bucks, just as they did last year, making an addition to the roster here in the final few games of the regular season. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Back to the phones we go. John in Waukesha, you're up next on Bucks Talk.
Hey, well, I think it was a really nice win against the Celtics tonight. I know they weren't at full roster, and I mean, it's kind of obviously did that on purpose. I'm not saying the players obviously try their hardest to win, but when you don't have a full roster, you're missing, you know, two or three of your best five or six players. It's kind of obvious what's going on. Anyway, the Bucks win was nice, but, and I know you've touched on this already, but what else is there really to talk about this late in the season? It's going to make a tough road for us in the playoffs. Jersey, Boston, Miami, and, you know, probably Phoenix. Yeah, you know, there's always upsets, like you already touched on. But looking at that, I think the Bucks are the best team in the NBA. But with that potentially tough road ahead of us, do you think we're going to win the championship this year or not?
Boy. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a lot tougher than it was a year ago. And last year, incredibly tough. But to me, the biggest challenge this year is the Eastern Conference is absolutely loaded from 1 through 6. I mean, 1 through 5. I would even lump in the Raptors as not as a team that can contend for a championship, but it's a team you don't want to have to go through. And I know we talked about this last year where we thought it was getting towards that point, but last year you still had a couple of layups there sprinkled throughout the first round. The Bucks didn't get one of those. Or they did in the form of a 4-0 sweep, but still, the Heat were better than the Knicks and certainly better than the Wizards and some of those teams, the Hornets and Pacers, that were in and came out of the play-in tournament. But the Heat were a very flawed team a season ago. They're just a tough playoff team. This year, we ran through the scenarios in that if the Bucks win out, they're the 2 seed. Look, let's just get into this part now. How messy the playoff scenarios are. So in the event of a 3-way tie, it would come down to record in games between those three teams. So if the Bucks, Celtics, and Sixers all finish 51-31, it would come down to, well, who had the most wins against those three teams? So in other words, the Bucks' record against the Celtics and Sixers, Sixers' record against the Bucks and the Celtics, and you get the point. The Bucks would win the tiebreaker in that spot because they're 2-2 against the Celtics, they're 2-1 against the Sixers. Celtics are 2-2 against the Bucks, obviously, 1-2 against the Sixers, and then the Sixers have a winning record against the Celtics, a losing record against the Bucks. So the Bucks are going to get the tiebreaker in the event of a 3-way tie, but if it comes down to the Bucks and the Celtics, they split the season series at 2 games apiece. So then it shifts to your conference record. Right now, the Celtics are 33 and well, not right now. The Celtics are done with Eastern Conference games. They're 33-19. So the Bucks go 1-1. They're 33-19 as well. The tiebreaker comes into play if the Celtics lose to the Memphis Grizzlies on Sunday. If that's the tiebreaker, then you got to go even further to a point where I can't even tell you who's going to win, and that's by margin of victory in those common games. So it's going to get very messy, but the good news from this is it basically eliminates the chance of the 76ers finishing above the Bucks unless the Bucks just punt the weekend and go 0-2. But you got the tiebreaker over Philly. You got the tiebreaker in the event of a 3-way tie. So that means you are very likely looking at 2 or 3. And that means, as we just went through, I think the Brooklyn Nets are going to be the 7th seed. So you finish 2nd, you're getting the Brooklyn Nets. You finish 3rd, you're getting the Chicago Bulls. And that is a pretty big difference in terms of firepower. Now, the Bucks, the Celtics, whoever it is that finishes 2nd, they're going to beat the Brooklyn Nets. Like, we keep worrying over the Brooklyn Nets to the same levels we did last year with the Miami Heat, where everybody was terrified and didn't want the Bucks to face the Heat, and they got to go out of their way to duck this. One, it sends a bad message, and you see the basketball gods and what they do to teams that play with the schedule like that. But also, if you're afraid of your first-round opponent, and I get this year is a little different because that first-round matchup could include Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. But if you don't think you can beat the team that you're going to play in the first round, you're not going to win a championship. You got to go through 3 more teams after that to win a title. So I don't think the Bucks should approach this as, hey, we can't get the 2 seed. I don't think the Celtics are doing that either. As I saw some commentary of, man, the Celtics are going on their way to duck the Nets. I don't think they're doing that. The 76ers have done that and continue to do that this season. But to your point of the path, yes, it never works out quite like you anticipate, but to me there's just more landmines that are out there this year. We have potentially Brooklyn in the first round. Boston, I'm all but certain it's going to be the Bucks and the Celtics in the 2nd round of the playoffs. That's going to be tough. Maybe it's Philadelphia. I doubt it. But could be Miami. It's going to be a tough, pesky, annoying series that you'd have to go through. And then you have the Phoenix Suns, who to me, again, be careful about, you know, speaking in absolutes, but I just don't see a team in the West that is on the same level as the Phoenix Suns. I know the Memphis Grizzlies have been really good. We've seen them a couple of times this year. The Warriors, obviously, if they're healthy, that's a different story. It doesn't look like they're going to be healthy. And even then, you don't know what to expect from that team. And the other thing with Memphis, they've been in the playoffs, sure, but they haven't won a playoff series. And think about that conversation that we had about the Bucks for two decades of, yeah, they're there, and yeah, they have some interesting players, but they haven't gotten out of the first round. You got to get out of the first round and experience winning. You don't just jump from, you know, point A to point D. That's what we talked about in 2019 and that run that the Bucks went on. I think that's where Memphis is. The only team in the West that I would say, boy, this is a team that I would look out for if somebody's going to take down the Phoenix Suns, it's the Dallas Mavericks with the way that Luka Doncic has been in the postseason. And what we saw from that team and how they're constructed on Sunday, too, that they make things difficult with Luka's ability as a playmaker and a shot maker. So it seems like it's going to be the Phoenix Suns. And it seems like the Suns are even better than they were a season ago. And I just don't see that path being as difficult for Phoenix as it was a season ago. So, and yes, I understand they swept the Nuggets in the second round and they faced a Clippers team without Kawhi. But still, this to me feels like an easier path for the Phoenix Suns than it was a season ago. That is an incredibly tough stretch. We thought last year was going to be really tough with Miami and Brooklyn, and then it became Atlanta and Phoenix. But if you have Brooklyn, Boston, Miami, Phoenix, that's even tougher than it was a season ago. Yes, I think the Bucks can win, but my biggest concern, you know, obviously you got to get to the finals, but my biggest concern would be, well, what did Phoenix have to go through versus what the Bucks would have to go through in those three playoff series leading to the NBA Finals, and how much is going to be left in the tank from that? 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Zach in Maquantico, you're up next on the show.
Hey, I appreciate the call. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to speak quick from a general basketball standpoint and how exciting it is and how many good teams in the NBA and the Eastern Conference in general. And I know it's a little bit disappointing seeing the path the Bucks will have depending on their seeding, but boy, it's just exciting from an NBA fan and so many good teams and good young players. And I love the Bucks and their chances, and we'll see how they do. And, you know, I love their camaraderie, and I love the fact that, you know, the Bucks are battle-tested. And we talked earlier how in crunch time, final 5 minutes, game is close, how the Bucks come in clutch. I know it didn't happen against the Mavericks a few days ago, but I just love their chances. And I would hate to play the Nets in the first round, but I don't care who they're playing. I'm putting my money on the Bucks and Giannis, and we're rooting all the way and see how they'll do.
You think this team is better than they were a season ago?
I think they are, for the fact that they know in the back of their heads they're the defending champions. And when you have that confidence, when you have that in the back of your heads that we're the best team, we're the defending champions, I think that is that confidence level is something that they didn't have last year, of course. And I think Giannis is playing better. You know, Middleton, we can say maybe he took a tiny step back this year, but playoff Middleton, I don't want to get in his way. And, of course, Drew Holiday and the rest of the staff, boy, I'm putting my money on the Bucks. I love them. I'm riding them all the way. I think they're a little better. And again, they're championship tested. They won the championship last year. And them going in the playoffs in the back of their heads knowing that they are the defending champions, that goes a long way, having that confidence. And so we'll see how they do. Obviously, it'll be a tougher path for them. I don't remember in years past Eastern Conference being this good. You talk about five legitimate teams that can go to the finals in Milwaukee, Boston, Brooklyn, Philadelphia, and Miami. But it's going to be a tougher path, but they're a better team, I feel like, and I'm riding with the Bucks. And I'm just, from a general NBA fan standpoint, I'm excited for these playoffs, and I don't know anyone who isn't excited, and I can't wait till next weekend, and we'll see what's in store for the Bucks and the rest of the NBA. But I feel like just going forward for the NBA as a fan, the NBA is in really good hands. A lot of really good teams, a lot of really good players. Giannis is only 27 years old. I mean, he's just scratching his prime right now. And they got Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton locked in for several more years. As an NBA fan and a Bucks fan, I am so excited moving forward. and we'll see how the Bucks will do in the next few weeks.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Zach. And you bring up two things I want to touch on. One, I'm really glad you brought up, and the difference it makes in a team that has done that before and been there before. But I want to get into that because it struck me watching the game tonight, some of the differences between this version of this team and where they were a season ago. And also, what you said about the playoffs. I mean, we've run through the possible scenarios here and what you would have in the path. But just think about this. I agree with Zach that this is going to be an incredible playoffs this year, because just think about this. Looking at the play-in tournament, and this is it's funny that the East has become what we've seen from the West in recent years here. But looking at the play-in tournament, I think ideally you don't want the Cavs or the Hornets to get out. I mean, the Hornets you'll take if it means you get to see LaMelo Ball in the playoffs and maybe they can make it interesting for a game or two in a first-round series. But those are the two teams you look at here and say, among those play-in teams, they are least likely to do anything in terms of damage. Winning a game or two is certainly not going to win a series. The Nets and the Hawks are the teams that you say, okay, if there's somebody in a play-in situation that you're going to tell me pushes a team, the one or two seed, to six games, maybe even seven games, it would be those two teams. So in terms of the quality of play, you want those two teams to come out of the play-in tournament. If you're the Bucks and you're in that two line, you don't want those two teams to come through. But potentially, you could have Miami versus either the Nets or the Hawks in the first round. You could have the Bucks versus the Nets or Hawks. I mean, in those scenarios, it would be a semifinals rematch or a conference finals rematch. If it's Miami and Brooklyn, the storylines that are there, you're likely going to have Philadelphia and Toronto. And if you caught any of the game tonight, that was an interesting game that Toronto prevailed in, and the Raptors are a team that, you know, just like what we said with those other teams in Atlanta and Brooklyn, they're going to be a tough out. I wouldn't pick the Raptors to win that series, but that's a game that's a series that's going six games, and it's going to be competitive, maybe even seven. And then you got the Bulls and the Celtics, we think, if that's the matchup. Now, if it's the Bucks three, you got the Bucks and the Bulls once again in a first-round matchup, and potentially the Celtics and the Brooklyn Nets. So there are going to be really, really good matchups beginning in the first round. Think about what we have to slog through last year with Atlanta and New York, Philadelphia and Washington. You know, in years past, the Bucks and the Magic, the Raptors and the Magic, the Bucks and the Pistons. You're not going to have that this year. Even in the West, and it's always been this way in the West, but 1-6 in the West is going to give you some really, really interesting matchups. And the intrigue out there is the play-in tournament. Timberwolves have been really good this year. Timberwolves could be headed home. The Clippers have just kind of hung tough, and now what if they get back Kawhi Leonard? They just got back Paul George. They're getting back Norm Powell. So it's going to be a really, really, really good playoffs that we have this year. Knock on wood. Assuming everything goes to plan, and that's what makes this upcoming week, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday, all the more exciting and interesting as we start to get a clearer picture of where teams are going to finish. And by the time games are done tomorrow night, we're basically going to know all the scenarios you need to know. Because if you peek ahead to the weekend schedule, tomorrow is where the big games lie. All 30 teams play on Sunday. So we got 15 games on Sunday. But in between, you got the Sixers and the Pacers on Saturday. So this is a Saturday slate. Sixers and the Pacers, Pelicans and the Grizzlies, Warriors and the Spurs, and the Kings and the Clippers. Kings and the Clippers is going to be absolutely meaningless. Sixers and Pacers could potentially be meaningless. And the other games are basically just going to be potentially there for seeding in the form of the Spurs and in the form of the Pelicans. When you look at the standings here in the Eastern Conference, Nuggets are winning tonight. They're going to beat the Grizzlies. Grizzlies are locked into the two seed. Warriors are winning as well. The Warriors right now are kind of fighting, I wouldn't say for their life, but just for seeding and to hold on to that three spot. They're only a half game up on the Mavericks, so that's the importance for the Warriors. We know 9 versus 10 is going to be the Pelicans and the Spurs. And right now, the Spurs are 2 back of the Pelicans, so that is very likely going to be in New Orleans. Think about that. New Orleans is going to be hosting a play-in tournament game, and that makes those games essentially meaningless on Saturday. So tomorrow night is where all the intrigue lies. Saturday's game's basically useless. It's tomorrow and Sunday. What the Bucks do, the Cavs and Nets may be the biggest remaining game when we look at the playoff implications. Raptors basically just have to win, and they're going to be the 5 seed. Hawks and the Heat. The Hawks want to get to that 7-8 line. They can do that with a win against Miami. And all of a sudden, Miami, they've got nothing to play for. They have clinched the 1 seed. Bulls and the Hornets. Hornets want to continue their climb. Bulls still have an outside shot at moving up to the 5. They got to win out, and they need the Raptors to lose out. So by the time those games end on tomorrow night, you're going to know the scenarios. Saturday is basically going to be meaningless. You're going to know, okay, Sunday, if the Bucks win, it means this. If the Bucks lose, it means this. If the Celtics win, it means this. Here's what 7 through 10 is going to be. Here's the likelihood that 7 and 8 is going to be this. Tomorrow night is going to be very, very interesting, just like the playoffs. But the other thing that he got to, that Zach brought up, how much it matters to have been there before. I want to get into that after this on Bucks Talk.
Ain't no way they can stop me now.
Middleton going to fade and fire left baseline. All net. That's that silky smooth jumper from Chris Middleton that makes it an 8-0 run. 6 of those with Giannis on the bench, but he's out there again now.
The Bucks outlast the Celtics here at Fiserv Forum in the final home game of the 2021-22 season. The next time we're back inside this building will be game 1 of the opening round of the playoffs, either 1 week from Saturday or 1 week from Sunday. Still remains to be seen who that will be against. I get a feeling, have a feeling it's going to be the Brooklyn Nets, but I guess we will have a better idea following tomorrow's game. So I mentioned it in passing, but tomorrow, the games of note here, obviously the Bucks and what they do. That is a 6 o'clock tip that they take on the Pistons. Now, Bud was asked after the game about how are you going to approach this final weekend here. And you know, Bucks fans were upset last year that this team opted to play to win games rather than saying, let's maybe not. You know, let's go out of our way to avoid the Miami Heat. They put it to a vote and said, no, let's just play. Let's play to win. Let's play our best basketball going into the playoffs. That's what they did. And going into the final game of the regular season, there was a shot, albeit brief, but there was still a chance they could get the 2 seed. It was either the Bucks or the Nets. The Bucks closed the season in Chicago against the Bulls. The Nets closed the season against the Cavaliers. That's a Cavaliers team. Much different than they were a season ago. Not very good. 22-50 last year. The Nets ultimately won. Had the Nets lost and the Bucks beat the Bulls, they were the 2 seed. But there's been a lot of questions over, well, what are they going to do this weekend? And we told you at the top of the show, I would assume if I was, and I wouldn't do this because I want to save my money to use on that Bucks Foundation auction, but if I was putting any money on it, I would say tomorrow's going to be a rest day. Sunday, you're going to see guys for at least some time. Maybe it's the half, maybe it's 15 to 20 minutes, but I think you're going to see the starters and the regulars play some. I don't think that's going to be the case tomorrow. But as we were watching the game tonight, looking at this Boston Celtics team that, as I've seen a few people point out and mention, and Brandon, you're one of them too, you're not quite as concerned about the Celtics, and maybe concern is the wrong word, but as I am, because, well, Celtics hit a lot of threes. And Marcus Smart had a big game. Daniel Tice had a big game. Yeah, there was no Jason Tatum. Yeah, there was no Al Horford or Robert Williams. But how many times are the Celtics going to do this? And by and large, I agree with you. But the Celtics have been a pretty good shooting team this year, especially since January 21. I want to say, I mean, I have the spreadsheet in front of me, but doing the counting while I'm talking is a little difficult. But I believe this was, it's either the eighth or ninth time this season that the Celtics have hit 20 or more threes in a game. So it's not as though this is a rarity for them. And the 50% shooting from three is not really a rarity for this team either. They're a good shooting team, and they do this quite a bit. They didn't shoot 50% tonight, but they were 42%. You look at what they've done recently. They made 23 threes the other night against the Wizards, shot 52% there. They made 19 threes against the Jazz and shot 53%. They made 19 again against the Nuggets and shot 48%. They shot 55% and made 22 threes against the Kings. This is all within the last 2 weeks. So they do this quite a bit. Now, I do agree on the Marcus Smart component, and we kind of joked about it off the air during the game as well, of when he started to heat up, to me that felt like a really good thing for the Bucks. That he's one of those guys, you want him to hit shots early. And, you know, we've certainly seen this with the Bucks as well, of you come out, you start hot, you hit threes early, and you fall in love with the three. And even Giannis starts taking four or five threes. You kind of get out of the rhythm of things. Maybe we were seeing that with the Celtics, who came out pretty hot in the early going, then just kept shooting threes. The majority of their shots, not only in this game, but in the first half especially, were threes. I don't think Marcus Smart is a guy that's going to do that to you seven games. I know Daniel Tice is not a guy that's going to do that to you for seven games, but there are still some areas for concern with this Boston Celtics team. But as you watch this game, what stood out to me most is what's different about this team. Last year you had PJ Tucker. This year you have more depth in other areas. But the biggest thing was when it got to that stretch, Boston jumps in front by four and five, and it doesn't matter who was on the floor for them. You're down with 2 minutes left. They just found a way. And this is now 9 of 10 times that they've done that. The lone loss in that group is to Luka Doncic, who has done that to every other team in the league. You have to go through it to get that experience, and it basically unlocks things. That Bud used that terminology when he joined the team of, we're going to unlock the offense for Giannis. And that's what we saw. P.J. Tucker unlocked, I don't know if you want to call it the dog, but just that playoff mentality and how to close games out, that you needed somebody to come in to show you that and remind you, we can do this. And then you do it, and you're the NBA champions. And you've been through those spots, and you know what it takes in those moments. Sometimes it's as simple as just going through it. And I think that's where this team is at. Without that experience last year, we're not saying the Bucks are the favorites to win the championship or to come out of the Eastern Conference this year. Even if they lost in the finals to the Phoenix Suns, I don't think we're having that conversation. Most of the narrative would be, well, they fell short in the finals. They're not even going to get to the finals this year. That's what winning a title does. It buys you that leeway, and I think that's where the Bucks are at so far this season. So to me, what they went through last year, that's the reason why I'm at where I'm at with this Bucks team. Let's head back to the phone lines for one more call here and talk with Victoria here. You're up next on the show.
I watch all the games with my daddy.
Yes or no?
Yes or no?
Bucks.
Say that again.
Are the Bucks going to win the championship here? Yes or no? She watches all the games with her daddy.
Boy, well, it's tough to say no to that.
Yes, they are going to win.
Well, there you go. Brandon thinks they are going to win. I'm going to say yes. If Brandon feels that strongly, I will say yes, and you're going to have a lot more games to watch this season, Victoria. Thanks for the call. The last point, the championship thing, and obviously I did not play professional sports at a high level, but to me, Brandon, this is, are you a gamer?
No, I wish I had time in my life.
Look,
but
oh wow, what a humble brag! I'm not a professional gamer. I'm not a hardcore gamer, but this is like when you're a kid. Mike Tyson's Punch Out. Remember that game?
Oh, of course.
All right, Mike Tyson's Punch Out. You play it the first couple of times, you can't beat it. Maybe you can't even get past Glass Joe. It takes a couple of times, and you got to figure it out, right? Well, for me, it was my cousin. And you have somebody that beats the game and figures out, no, against this boxer, you got to do this, and you got to do that. And then against this guy, here's how you avoid the punches, and you got to do this. So to me, it was my cousin showing me, all right, I beat the game, here's how I did it, here's how you got to do it. That's what P.J. Tucker did for this team last year.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
That's what this team learned from that experience, and that's why this team, I think, is still the favorites. I know Vegas doesn't have it listed as such, but to me, this team is still the favorites to win the NBA championship. Tomorrow night, night two of a back-to-back, so we'll see how the Bucks choose to treat that. But it's in Detroit against the Pistons. 6 o'clock tip-off, 5:30 is when we hit the airwaves with Bucks shots. And then afterwards, 9 o'clock is when we'll get started here with Bucks Talk on these stations. My thanks to Brandon and Chris for producing the show and all you guys for hanging out for the last hour. We'll talk to you once again tomorrow night with more Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.